Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We welcome you, everybody. We're here, of course, as a dedicated ministry helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're live on the air and online right now. So if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now at 844-322-2742. Same number in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. When we talk about mercy, and that's our subject this month, our theme, and we've had a wonderful time exploring the mercy of God, God who is rich in mercy. And there's so much involved in that. I mean, mercy is just one of those things that we cry out for, that we desperately need, that God has locked us all up under the consequences and wages of sin, so that we could receive the mercy of God, so that we could be made alive, so that we could experience new life in Him. That's what this mercy is all about. But for the most part, when we think about mercy, we think about forgiveness, God's act in Christ to forgive our sins. Yes. And in Colossians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses, really, this was the verse that turned the lights on for me as far as the gospel message and what it meant to truly be a Christian. In verse 13, it says, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ." That was the missing piece for me. I didn't know that salvation was more than forgiveness. I didn't know that it had anything to do with life. But here, clearly, it's all about life. Jesus came so that we might have life. But in order to give us life, He had to forgive our sins. And that's the next line of this verse. He forgave us all our sins. Well, what does that mean? Well, we hear this phrase past, present, and future all the time. And that's what it means. That when Christ forgave your sins, He forgave all of them. Your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. There's not one sin that was left unjudged, unpunished by Jesus at the cross. You can count on that. So as a believer in Christ, you are a forgiven person. So receiving the mercy of God means that your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Now let me ask a question. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that that's true? Do you really believe that the sin that you're going to commit tomorrow has already been dealt with by the shed blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago? There's a lot of people that stumble over that question. Yeah. They want to believe it's true, but it doesn't make sense in their minds. It doesn't make sense within the framework of the religious teaching that they have listened to and believed or bought into. It just doesn't make sense. But here's the truth. When Jesus died, He took all of your sins, not just some of them, all of them. And He suffered the punishment. He died in your place. And then He was buried. And then He was raised back to life. That's proof that all your sins have been dealt with once and for all. So when you come to Christ, you receive that forgiveness. You're a forgiven person. All sin, past, present, and future. And as my friend that I saw come to Christ a number of years ago, that's on the rooftop, shout it from the rooftop, good news.
Absolutely.
You are a forgiven person.
Absolutely. That is basic good news at Basic Gospel, everybody. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose, why, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome.
Thank you. At our Bible study last night, one of the participants brought up the subject of the two thieves that were crucified with Jesus.
Yes.
And she said that in the Gospel of Luke, it was pointed out that one of them was saved because he believed in Jesus, and yet in the book of Matthew, it's recorded that both of the robbers were hurling insults at him, and I was wondering if you could reconcile that for me.
Well, that's an interesting question. We do know that there was one that basically pleaded for mercy from Christ, and that's when he said, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. And I think we just need to realize that. So it says one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? So he rebuked the other guy. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, in Matthew 27, the story is read like this, starting in verse 44. Or in the same way, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. So that's what we see. That's simply what Matthew records as to what happened, and that probably was the case. Luke carries on the rest of the story and simply says what happens toward the end. And so this one recognized what was really going on, and that's when he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So I don't think the stories are at odds with each other. I think Luke is just the continuation of what was happening. Luke gives a more detailed account as to what happened there.
Yeah, that's what I concluded too, was that the Matthew account recorded how the thieves initially responded to Jesus, but the Luke account shows that one of the thieves changed his mind later on and repented.
Yes, indeed. So, yes, indeed. And these criminals, these robbers, they were getting caught up in all the other mocking and all of that was going on by the soldiers and the chief priest and the teachers of the law and the elders. So they were just following suit there. And then Luke, like I said, gives us the rest of the story.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
We do indeed. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines. 844-322-2742. Let's take a trip. What do you think?
We are going to take a trip next year, February 7th through the 18th, 2017. We're going to go to Israel.
Yeah.
And, boy, we can't wait to get back there. It's been a long time since we've been there, since we've taken a group of people to tour the Holy Land, to retrace the final footsteps of Christ and just see the marvelous history of the nation of Israel. Yeah. It is one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth. It is a moving, inspirational place. It really is a trip of a lifetime. And we have room for 40 people to go with us. People are already starting to register to sign up for this trip. So if you want to go, I would encourage you to really get on the move
on the ball,
and
yeah.
register and make that happen as quickly as possible. So all the information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the events tab. You will be able to download a brochure. All the registration information is there. It's going to be a marvelous time. February 7 through 18, 2017, Basic Gospel in Israel. We're going to see the land of Jesus through the eyes of the new covenant. There are many people who take trips to Israel, but I guarantee you there are very few that go and take a look at it through the eyes of the new covenant. When it really comes to life,
yes.
And this gospel message will become even more meaningful to you as you see where Jesus was crucified, buried, and came back to life.
Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful trip. And Richard and I over the weekend have just seen a marvelous new motion picture called Risen.
Yes.
What's your review on it?
I think you should go see it.
I do too.
It obviously it's a story told imaginatively. You have to take liberties, but watching Joseph Fiennes' face, mm-hmm. the actor who plays the Roman Tribune, watching his face when he sees Jesus.
Yeah. Boy, that's worth it. That's worth the price of admission right there. It is a marvelous film, I think. And
yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but we are seeing more and more very high-quality Christian-based movies coming out. This mm-hmm. one is not totally biblical. This is kind of the perspective of someone who's seeing the biblical story from a different, kind of a parallel perspective.
Yes.
And so it's a very interesting presentation, but a very high quality, and it certainly is Christ-honoring.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's good. It's kind of interesting to me that 2,000 years after Christ lived as a human and walked planet Earth, we're still talking about him. And you know, that's just the power of the message. And people are mesmerized by Jesus. And there's all kinds of discussion, just like there was 2,000 years ago. When Jesus took his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi, he said, "What are people saying about me?" And there was quite the buzz about Jesus back then.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? There's quite the buzz about him
yes.
today. And as long as life continues as it is, there's always going to be discussion about Jesus. And what's even more interesting to me are that the atheists out there who don't believe God exists are some of the most vocal people about asking questions of Jesus or making comments about mm-hmm. Jesus. He is the topic on everybody's conversation. Jesus is everything. And that has to tell us something about the significance of this Jesus. Just as the actor was mesmerized when he looked at Jesus, I think back on Jesus' call of the disciples,
yes.
Peter and Andrew. You know, they saw him on the shoreline, and he said, "Come and follow me." And they got out of the boat and followed him.
Yes.
It's like, what was it about Jesus that uh-huh. commanded that type of response? Well, I think when you know him, you know. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, God in human flesh, when he calls, and there's something about those words, there's something about who he was, just electrifies you. It just touches the heart in such a powerful way. You can't help but follow him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I have to confess that I was a sissy. I did shed a tear during the movie. Yeah, I did.
Just one?
Okay, two.
Well, let's get it together, guys, and let's move on. We're going to talk to Kadari and Kadar here in Dallas, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Welcome to Basic yeah, Gospel.
Hi, thank you. Thank you guys for taking my question. Yes, sir.
Yes. So what's on your mind today?
Well, really, I was just listening from the beginning of the show, and I did hear you guys cover your sins have been forgiven, your past, present, and future. And I really just kind of saw in Luke 8 where he kind of tells the woman who came to him who she had been caught in adultery, and he asked her, he told her to go and sin no more. So I was wondering if there was any scripture you guys knew of that would line up with the sins that have been forgiven, past, present, and future, if you haven't even repented of those sins yet, because he does tell us to repent as well and turn from those sins.
Well, Kadar, that's part of salvation. I mean, that's what we do when we come to Christ. We're repenting of that old life that was marked by the sin of unbelief. See, there's the root, and then there's the fruit. The root of all sin is unbelief in Jesus. That's why God sent his Spirit into the world to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in Jesus. So sin is unbelief. That's the root of it. And then it manifests itself in all of these sins that we're so familiar with, that we see out there. In the world every day that we've experienced ourselves. So when we come to Christ, we're turning from that old way of life, that old life that was marked by unbelief, to one that is now marked by belief in Jesus. And as we learn to live in that faith, to walk by the Spirit, to walk in the truth, we're going to see a different fruit coming out of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, all of those. So we repent, we turn from that old way of life, we turn to Jesus, we're made alive together with Christ, we're raised to walk in this newness of life, and when we turn to Him, we receive Him. He comes to live inside of Him, and within that resurrected life is forgiveness. So when we receive Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins, not just forgiveness for some sins, but forgiveness for all sins. And the reason that we know that is because we've also been declared righteous. We've been justified. Well, God would never declare us righteous if some of our sins were left unpunished, if some of our sins were left undealt with by God. So the fact that we've been declared righteous is proof that all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been taken care of by Jesus' shed blood on the cross. Now, that's good news, isn't it?
It is good news.
It's just the best. It's just the best. So
yeah,
tomorrow when you sin, and Kedar, you're going to sin, I'm going to sin, we're going to sin, right? It's these sins.
Not according to 1 John, I don't have to sin.
You don't have to, and down at your core, Kedar, where you've where you've been made new, there's no sin there.
Yeah,
this born again spirit, there's no sin there. But we have flesh, and sometimes we give into that flesh, and those things that we do are sins. Now those, you know, have that source of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and sometimes we give into those. Well, when we give in to those, what do we know is true about that? Well, Jesus shed his blood. Jesus took care of it 2,000 years ago. He's not going to deal with it again. It's been forgiven. It's been taken care of. And so we can rejoice all over in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So sin has been dealt with once and for all. Read one of the best chapters on the sacrifice of Christ is Hebrews chapter 10, and you're going to see this phrase once for all in there several times, and that's the type of forgiveness that we have, once for all. It's not something that we have to continue to get every time we sin. It's just ours because we're in Christ. Christ is in us, and in Him is redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Hmm. Yeah. So do you believe that everybody has to sin?
They don't have to, but we live in this world, don't we? And we're housed in a body of flesh, and this flesh has desires that are against the desires of the spirit.
Yes, that's true.
We can say no, and the grace of God teaches us to say no. And that's part of this process. So we don't have to give in. We don't have we don't have to resign ourselves to that. Many believers have.
Right.
But sometimes we do. We have to recognize that when we do, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
Mm-hmm.
And His blood has been shed for us once and for all. And we stand before Him as forgiven people.
Amen. Well, I thank you guys for taking my question. I'm really glad that you guys are, you know, sharing the word of God, but it's important that everybody gets truth. And that's all I wanted to ask that question about. Was there a scripture that does say that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future? So
that phrase past, really present, and future isn't in the Bible, but the word all is. And all covers past, present, and future. When Paul wrote that he forgave us all our sins, that's exactly what he meant. Every last one of them.
Well, Kedar, thank you. Thank you for your call. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a little booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. You hang on, okay?
And in just a moment, we're going to go to New Rochelle, New York, and talk to Mike, who has a question on a really good book, the Book of Romans. But Before we go to Mike, I want to remind you, friends, that we need your help on an ongoing basis. And for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's 3-CD series, Profiles in Character, Lessons from Unlikely Heroes. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, through this series, Bob shines a spotlight on 3 well-known Bible accounts, the stories of Samaritans, to find out what we can learn from these unlikely heroes of Scripture. We believe you're going to find that these lessons are indeed life-changing. To complete your gift and receive your copy of Profiles in Character, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that's Donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. The Samaritans were hated people.
Yes.
Back in that day, the Jews despised them. The Romans despised them. And they were... these folks that would show up in these different biblical stories, and for some reason they were always the heroes.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. There were a group of lepers that cried out for mercy and God healed them, and one came back and said, Jesus, thank you, and that was a Samaritan. And we see them in a very positive light. Mm-hmm. And you ask the question, why is this? Why are these folks showing up as the heroes of these stories? And I think they represent something. The fact that they were a mix of Gentile and Jew, they showed what the body of Christ is really going to be made up of. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians, that we have become one new man. Well, what is this one new man made of? Jew and Gentile. And I think some of the stories in the biblical records, in the synoptic gospels about the Samaritans, are pointing us forward to what the church is like.
Yes.
They were the ones that received mercy. They were the ones that lived in thankfulness to Jesus Christ. That's the body. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. We're the ones who have received mercy. We're the ones that live in thankfulness. And boy, these attitudes and characteristics are things that God instills in our hearts as we learn to trust Him by faith. And that's when we really represent what the people of God are all about. And that's why these Samaritans are so vitally important in the biblical record.
And those stories, of course, in Profiles in Character, Lessons from Unlikely Heroes. And to get your free copy, all you need to do is make a gift to Basic Gospel by clicking Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mike in New Rochelle, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I've always I've discussed Romans, the part that the verse that talks about sinning unto death. Now, does that mean if you can continue in a particular sin, let's say like drunkenness, that it's sort of practical advice because maybe sooner or later you'll get behind the wheel of a car, or if you're a philanderer, maybe sooner or later you're going to run into a very angry husband who could become potentially violent, and that you could lose your life here on earth? Or does it mean that you can lose your salvation potentially? I just wondered what your view on that was.
Well, Mike, it doesn't mean that we can lose our salvation. I think the sin unto death is a sin where we kind of raise our hand up to God and reject His offer of life in Jesus Christ. It's ultimately
so it's more serious, actually, than what I thought it was.
Right. So it's ultimately the rejection of Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 12 shows, I think, a very vivid picture. There was a leader who stood up, and he had great oratorical skills, and people started calling him a god, and he accepted that praise. So he tried to rob God of His glory and take it upon himself, and it says he died instantly. And so,
so
he had
physical and spiritual death.
Well, we see it there, but the root of that, the cause of that, was his denial of truth and his rejection of the message and trying to take upon godlike qualities himself. And
well, you
so,
don't want to do that. That's a pretty serious matter. It's more serious than I thought, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not messing with that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm gonna view it that way when I read it from now on. That's pretty serious.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Mike. We sure appreciate hearing from you today.
You bet. Thanks, Mike. Friends, stay in touch with Basic Gospel while you're on the go by downloading the Basic Gospel app, available right now in the App Store. And we also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. All you have to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page on the website, basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will, too. Bye-bye.